With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK. Things are quiet on our local sports scene. We're in between seasons and not really sure when we're going to get that spring season to take off anyway, but we are melting off some of the snow. Know there's going to be a lot of activity in town for today and tomorrow with youth basketball. The annual Showtime Classic taking place at gyms around the Nordby Center. Other than that, our local scene is fairly quiet here for the time being. Do have a few items to talk about, though. The 32nd annual three-class shootout basketball all-star games will be held today at McCook Central Auditorium in Salem. All three classes in both boys and girls will be represented by many of the top seniors in the state. Schedule starts at 2 o'clock this afternoon. AA girls will play the Class A girls. Then the winner of that game will play the Class B girls at about 3:30. At 5:15, the Class A boys will play the Class B boys. There'll be a dunk contest after that. Then at about 7 o'clock, the AA boys team will play the winner of the Class A, Class B boys game. Again, all those games are in Salem. The Class B girls squad is coached by David Moe, Dakota State University. Members include Lauren Sees of Avon, Lori Rogers of Warner, Carly Gustafson of Ethan, Madeline Reiner of Trip Delmont Armor, Cameron Hines of Ipswich, Lauren Baumberger of McIntosh, Abigail Aaron of Bridgewater Emery, Rin Osthus of DeSmit, and Jaden Finkbeiner of New Underwood. Class A girls are coached by Celeste Beck of Dakota Wesleyan. Their members include Megan Madsen of West Central, Gabrielle Kocher of Winter, Morgan Erickson, McCook Central Montrose, Emma Paul of Del Rapids, Riley Peters of Lenox, McKenna Kranz, McCook Central Montrose, Raylan Jurgens of Parker, Bailey Nestor of West Central, Jada Canupi of Del Rapids, and Raven Kanoyer of Todd County. Double A girls team coached by Logan Wagner of Mount Marty. Members include Janaya Yugovsky of Harrisburg, Danica Kocher of Brandon Valley, Mac Miller of Mitchell, Emily Michelson of Pierre, Trinity Law of Brandon Valley, Peyton Morgan of Mitchell, Michaela Jewett of Brookings, Jordan Cranny of Mitchell, and Awati Akoy of Sioux Falls O'Gorman. The boys team, Class B, is coached by Dan Tharp of Mount Marty. Members of the Class B team include Sawyer Schultz, Bridgewater Emery, Jacob Prouty, Clark Willow Lake, Trey King, Irene Wakanda, Justice Morrison of White River, Jamin Aaron, Bridgewater Emery, Brandon Beneke of Castlewood, Jarrett Blumenrader of Highmore Herald, Micah Burke of Clark Willow Lake, Trevin Holland of DeSmit, Carter Dye, Bridgewater Emery. Class A boys are coached by Matt Wilbur of Dakota Wesleyan. Members include Noah Friedel of T, Mitch Goodberry, Sioux Falls Christian, Karst Hunter of Miller, Justin Hone of T, Jackson Miller of West Central, Trey Anderson, McCook Central Montrose, Camden Belos of Parker, Brock Anderson of Lenox, Joey Slama of Bonham, and Trey Christensen of Parker. And the AA boys team is coached by Jeremy Regal of Presentation. Members include Nick Hoyt of Harrisburg, Evan Telcott of Brandon Valley, Drew Cole of Brookings, Tucker West, Sioux Falls Roosevelt, Aiden Evans of Sioux Falls Roosevelt, Solomon Bach of Watertown, Dylan Poyer of Rapid City Stevens, Jared Jaros of Sioux Falls Christian, Blair Slaughter of Harrisburg, and Cotter Altoff of Brandon Valley. Again, those all-star games coming up later today in Salem. Coming up later this morning, South Dakota State women's basketball will play their opening round game in the NCAA basketball tournament. They're in Syracuse, New York. The Jacks have a 6 seed. We'll be playing Quinnipiac of Connecticut this morning. South Dakota State head coach Aaron Johnston says his team right now is in a good spot.
It really is a great recognition of what our team did this year. They had a phenomenal season up until this point. Non-conference, conference, one of the toughest schedules we've ever played by far. You look at our strength of schedule compared to a lot of other people's, we'd be right there with them. So to be recognized as a 6 seed is exciting.
AJ says Quinnipiac, which went undefeated in their conference this season, will post a big challenge.
They're a really good defensive team. You look at their stats right now, and they're one of the better defensive teams in the country. Like us, they've been to the tournament before, so this isn't a new experience. They've won games in the tournament before, so they'll, I'm sure, be really prepared for us and ready to go.
The Jacks are the Summit League champions and tournament champions as well. They have a record of 26-6. Tip-off is bright and early at 10 o'clock this morning in Syracuse. Hard to believe, but the Minnesota Twins about ready to break camp. I think they leave Florida either tomorrow or on Monday. Still have a few games left before they open the season next Thursday at Target Field. We'll have the Twins on the air tonight beginning at 5 o'clock as they play Baltimore down in Florida. Coming up this morning on Dakota Sports Saturday, we will review the seasons for the Huron Tiger girls and boys basketball teams with head coaches Tim Budenhagen and John Scouten. We'll have a little more on the Minnesota Twins as well as they prepare to open up for a brand new season. That's our Dakota Sports Saturday show coming up this morning. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK. And we're back here, Dakota Sports Saturday. We're going to recap a season of Huron Tiger girls basketball with head coach Tim Budenhagen. Tiger girls finished the season at 6-14, did make it to the SODAC 16 before falling to Lincoln, who did advance to the AA championship game. And Bud, just looking back on the season here briefly, you know, 6-14, you always want a few more wins than that, but that was a 6-win improvement from last year. So hopefully you're seeing some room to grow here moving forward.
Yeah, I thought we played well down the stretch. If you take a look at our record, 6-13, to be against teams that didn't make the tournament. We're not going to mention a record against teams that made the tournament, but we that's our next step. That's our next jump, is we got to be able to compete with those teams that are in the top eight, and that would get us hopefully to the state tournament. And I think that's got to be a serious goal with the girls going into next year.
Well, you do say goodbye to four seniors, and obviously you only had 1 year with these girls, although I'm sure you're well aware of them, probably taught them when they were going through middle school as well, but this bunch stuck together, and you always say, I remember you saying this 10, 15 years ago, you're only as good as your seniors, and this bunch did do a nice job for you this year.
Yeah, they did, and we talk about roles all the time, and these girls played, an important role on her team, and each one of them had a role throughout the season. It may have changed, but they were able to adapt. They never complained. They came to practice, worked hard, and you're right, only a year with them, but they did a nice job. And it's hard when you change coaches, and there's a little tweak to the offense, tweak to the defensive system, and now everybody's starting over again, and it puts the seniors in a hard place.
Well, let's talk about the four seniors. Let's go one by one, and as they're listed on the roster, we'll start off with number 10, Kylie Overbay. I believe she started every game this year.
Yeah, she did, and, we asked different things out of Kylie. At the end, she was, guarding girls maybe 5-6 inches taller than she was. And we just moved Kylie around a lot this year. We started her out at, guarding out away from the basket because, we started two bigs at that time with Sammy and Brooke, or Sammy and Libby. So Kylie was able to go outside. Then all of a sudden we inserted Bella into the starting lineup, and now somebody had to go inside. And Kylie never complained, and she did whatever she could. I thought she hit some big shots for us at different games, none bigger than at Pier, where she, laid a shot up and in off a rebound and then hit a big three, and that propelled us to a victory in Pier.
Next one on the list is number 12, Melissa Berg. She was really high energy off the bench.
She was. Melissa had a lot of energy, not only during games but also in practice, and she was all over the floor. And towards the end, we could channel some of that energy into guarding, the other team's best player and putting her on her for 2-3 minutes. And Melissa would get after her and do a really nice job of that. And, earlier in the season, we probably should have tried that a little bit more, but I just didn't know what, with everything being new, didn't know what was going to occur. But, towards the end, I think Melissa really, caught on to her role, a defensive player, rebounder, and she did a nice job with that.
And speaking of roles, we moved to number 20, Chelsea Hofer, again, undersized, but that just describes our whole roster. But when she was brought in off the bench, she was brought in to get physical underneath with somebody probably, again, 5-6 inches taller.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, again, same thing. You know, I go back to the Yankton Rapid City Central games where she just laid it all on the line. She was diving on the floor, got loose balls, got rebounds. Ball screen and roll, ball screen and pop. She did a lot of things that people aren't going to notice on the scoreboard or in the paper, but she did the little things that coaches really love their players to do. And the other thing, she was a servant leader. She took care of others. You know, that she really didn't take care of herself. She was more, if you watch when players came to the bench, weren't having such a great game, she was trying to talk to them and boost their confidence, even if she wasn't getting in the game as much. So Hof is she's a servant leader, and you always need one of those players on the team to pick everybody up when they were down. I think my greatest memory of Hof is at the end of the Yankton game when we won in 3 overtimes. She's telling me not to take her out, and the game was over. So I always remember that about Hof.
Yeah, to me, that might have been one of the best moments of the season. And basically, as I recall, the last play of the game where we ended up winning it in that third overtime, she got bopped in the nose, just didn't realize the game was over.
Absolutely, yeah. And that was a funny story. And I think, like I said, that's what I'll remember about Hof is, you know, she wants to keep playing. She wants to help her team in any way she can.
Then our final senior was a 2-year starter in Samantha Schultz, or Sammy Schultz, and probably the girl you were the most familiar with just because you've been her track coach, position coach in track pretty much throughout her high school career.
Yeah, I've known Sammy the longest just because of our working relationship in track and being able to coach her there. It was a lot easier then, you know, to jump to the girls with Sammy because I knew her and we had a relationship formed through track. So, you know, Sammy did a nice job. And again, we moved her as a main girl, main post girl, to play inside just because we thought surrounding her with 4 shooters was our best way to win games. And Sammy had to, you know, she had to battle her tail off at 5'6", 5'7", against 6'1", 6'2". And she was always quick to the board. I think that's the thing I'm going to remember most about Sammy is how quick she'd get after those rebounds. And then not only get the rebound, be able to kick it and go, or be able to advance the ball off the dribble and go, or on the offense end, get the board and then get up quickly and lay the ball up and in. So I thought Samantha had a great senior year. She led by example. She worked really hard in practice, as did all the other seniors. But Sammy, you know, just the way she rebounded and threw her body around was pretty impressive.
To kind of wrap up with this senior bunch, I think we all know that this group really had their struggles coming through the system, had some tough years in middle school as a freshman. I don't believe they won a game as well, but these 4 girls persevered. They stayed with it, and while a 6-win senior season may not seem like much, but for these 4 girls, that was a pretty good deal.
Yeah, it was. You know, any time that you find some success on the court, it's beneficial. I think, you know, most of your athletic career, you're not going to be perfect. You're not going to find a lot of success all the time. So a lot of athletics is how do you battle or how do you overcome adversity and failure? And I think these young ladies did it really well. You know, that they learned from their experiences and they applied that in practice and talk to the younger kids about, you know, this is what we have to do in order to be successful. So a lot of it is changing your game plan once you, you know, face that adversity and face those failures. And now what are you going to do to get better so that we don't have to face those things again?
Again, talking with Tim Budenhagen, head girls basketball coach for the Huron Tigers, kind of the season wrap-up for that team. And, Coach, just talk about the switch back after, what was it, 17 years as the head boys coach. You moved back to girls, which I believe it was an 11 or 12-year stint you had originally. Talk about that transition. Obviously, going from a boys program to a girls program, there are differences.
There are a lot of differences. Just in the language that we speak, the guys, after being in the guys program for such a long time, you don't have to explain, hey, this is what I mean by a slip, or this is what I mean by fake screen. They kind of knew what we were talking about. The girls, there are some languages that I use that the girls had no idea, and Coach Dobbs and Coach Roselle had that this is what he means by, and then they would explain it just because we're starting from square one, and I'm used to, one language, they're used to another, and I think that was the biggest difference. And some of the things that we taught, setting good screens, popping your feet, they had no idea what popping your feet meant. So I think language barrier was the biggest struggle coming into the season and throughout the season. Good thing for Coach Dobbs and Coach Roselle, because they were there to help that procedure out. And then we gained Tyann, and Tyann was able to bridge the gap too from me to the girls. So I think that was the biggest thing, was the language and starting all over again and not having those people like the senior boys to teach the juniors and the sophomores. So hopefully next year will be a little bit smoother transition.
You mentioned those coaches. I did want to mention those too, because really, in a way, you're kind of the new kid on the block. Wade Stobbs, of course, had been the head coach the past, four or five years. Chris Roselle had been in the girls program on and off a couple of times, but had been the head eighth grade coach the last couple of years. So they were there, and then you bring in your daughter, Tyann Budenhagen, as well. So, like I said, you were kind of the new kid on the block there.
Yeah, I was. Apprehensive on how that was going to work, but Coach Dobbs, Coach Roselle, Tyann were great to work with. They did a lot of things in practice that, like I said, explaining to the girls what I meant. They were in charge of the offense, coming up with offensive things that were really going to work for us. We had to change gear halfway through the season. Had the circle motion. He and Coach Roselle had run the circle motion before. They taught it to me. I thought it was beneficial. I thought that was the best offense that we could come up with to keep the lane free. I thought those guys and Tyann were extremely helpful. I couldn't have got through the year without them, so extremely blessed to have them on staff and to help me out.
Then one other note, we're kind of going off topic here, but still about basketball. As everybody knows, there at the state AA boys tournament, there was a shot that was counted that shouldn't have counted, put O'Gorman in the championship game instead of Yankton. And, well, all the discussion on instant replay comes up, at least at a state event. Obviously, it's not going to happen just during regular season games where you don't have that video capability. What's your thoughts on that? If the ability is there, should we just go ahead and do it?
Well, it's a tough question, because are you going to have it at the DAC 16? Because if I take a look at it, if that shot would occur at a DAC 16 game and we don't have that capability, that team that happened to doesn't get to go to the state tournament. Whether they can win it or not, who knows, because they don't get there. So I think there's a lot of things that work out. If we have the capability of doing it throughout the tournament, I say yes. If we don't have that capability, I say no, because it should be each tournament game should have the same capabilities as the next. I just don't think you can have the video replay at the state tournament, not have it at the DAC 16, because I think the DAC 16 is just as important as the state tournament run.
Well, just wrap it up with this. I say now we're into the off season, but do you ever really feel like you're in the off season?
Not really. Right now, we're trying to get prepared for our camps, putting together a camp schedule. We're going to travel around the Midwest and play some games trying to get two teams organized, trying to get the summer organized, never knowing when we're going to, when the last day of school is a mystery right now. So all that stuff is tough, but you got to get going on it because other teams are ready to go. So we've got to get ahead of the eight ball. We got to improve some skills. So we got to have a lot of skill development this summer. I have a better idea what we need to work on. We have a better idea of what offense we're going to put in this year, one that suits us a little bit better. So I don't know if there's ever an off season once you get done. My off season's usually from August to October, and watching the volleyball team and going around watching Tenley. So I think that's about the extent of your off season from about August through September.
Tim Budnagan, head coach here on Tiger Girls basketball. Recap of a season where Huron finished at 6-14, did qualify for the SODAC 16. We'll take a timeout here. Come back with more Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK. And we're back on Dakota Sports Saturday. We'll recap the Huron Tiger boys basketball season with head coach John Scouten. Huron took 7th state AA tournament in Rapid City last weekend, finished with an overall record of 13-11. And John, just a few brief comments to kind of wrap up the season and the tournament last weekend. Nobody sets out to go there and finish 7th place, but it is nice to know that you won your last game, and hopefully that's, you know, a good thing for the seniors to go out on and a good springboard for the guys who are coming back.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, you look at it and you go, you know, the second you win that SODAC 16 game, you're excited, you're happy, you're thrilled that you're in the field. And then the dust kind of settles. You look at your matchup. You know, we looked at our matchup with Yankton and felt really comfortable with that matchup going into the state tournament. They were the defending state champs, you know, with the player of the year on their team, but we felt like that was a good matchup for us, you know, and the guys came in practice time and they really got after it. They were excited for that challenge. You know, we happened to be the lowest remaining seed in the tournament. Guys kind of took that personally, kind of took that as a chip on their shoulder, came in practice hard in our preparation for Yankton. You know, especially the first half, I thought that really showed our guys came out with a focus and an intensity, especially on the defensive end, kind of smacked Yankton in the mouth, and they didn't really know what hit them. And we changed up defenses similar to how we did against Watertown in the SODAC 16, kind of kept them off balance that way. But the bottom line is we had guys just step up and take the individual challenge of making sure that every shot Morris took was contested and nothing came easy. And then the rest of the guys followed suit. You know, so our game plan going into that one, we wanted to make those other guys hit shots. You know, unfortunately for us, they had other guys step up and hit shots. Like Knapp, the cornerman kid, finished with 27 or 29 points, shot the ball really well. And those were things that we weren't necessarily planning on. Knew he was a good player, but weren't necessarily thinking he was going to hit 4 or 5 threes. But you got to give our guys credit. They responded well. Came out against Roosevelt. You know, that was a tough game because, again, Your title chances are done and over, but you had to regroup. They fought hard. They battled. Gave a great effort against Roosevelt on Friday. Unfortunately, fell short on that one as well. And then on Saturday, like you said, nobody envisions playing for 7th and 8th place Saturday morning at the state tournament. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of teams sitting at home that would want to be in your shoes. So for our guys, it was a matter of you know, being grateful for the opportunity to play one more game together, laying it on the line for our seniors, send them out the right way, and then, as you said, make springboard on for the underclassmen moving forward.
You know, as I mentioned, too, always nice for the seniors to know their last game was a W, and we're going to talk about that senior bunch. He had 5 kids that were in the senior class on the roster. You know, as freshmen, those guys had more than 5 guys on the team. So over the 4 years, these guys persevered, stay with it, and, well, they were very important to the Tiger program.
Absolutely. When you start looking at that, you know, you set out as a freshman class, you've got, you know, 10, 12, 15 kids on the team, whatever it is. And then, you know, just by process of elimination for different reasons, different factors, you know, kids moving, kids getting hurt, just whatever the case is, you know, got it whittled down. We had five seniors coming in this year. For our guys at the start of the year, you know, our challenge was, and what the seniors have been challenged with in the past, is you're only as good as those guys. And for us to be successful this season, those guys needed to step up. Some of them had to grow into roles that they maybe weren't comfortable with. You know, Jet McGurr to me is a natural-born leader. That comes naturally and comfortable for him. You know, quarterback of the football team, they made their great run to the Dome in the fall. You know, but on the other hand, you know, like a kid like Tanner, who's pretty quiet, not really outspoken, he had to step up a little bit in that regard. You know, Blake, Colton, and Mason, same thing. They haven't been the ones throughout the years, you know, that people have kind of been looking at, looking to follow, but they had to step up. They were the senior class. They were important, making sure that we were setting the right tone, making sure the standard was set from day one in the off season, and then as practices and games got rolling. You know, very proud of the senior class. You know, I mentioned Jed already, you know, with his relentless work ethic. You know, the bottom line is he was ready to defend anybody. It didn't matter who it was. He was gonna stand toe to toe with them and give it everything he had. And those guys were gonna know that they were being guarded by Jet McGurr that night. Tanner Evers, you know, same idea. You know, I look at him and I think about a quiet vengeance. You know, like I mentioned, he's a pretty quiet kid. But again, there isn't one guy on the team that he wouldn't stick his neck out for. He'll go to battle with any of them. He'll stand toe to toe with the biggest kids the other team has, you know, the ones that probably outweigh him on some nights by 50, 60 pounds. You know, obviously gives up 4 or 5 inches on some nights. But he goes in there, he sticks his nose in there, he battles, he bangs, he does everything he can to make sure that his team's taken care of. You know, Blake Cruz, his resiliency that he's shown through the years with injuries and sicknesses and just various things like that. The picture of resilience that he showed us it was incredible. He just kept coming in. Some days he was a little bit more ornery than others, but naturally, that's human nature. You're going to be a little crabby sometimes. But he came in. He gave everything he had. He was willing to do what we asked of him. Guard big, guard low, switch out, guard to guard, you know, post up, whatever it was, he was willing to do. And then you look at guys like Mason Rozelle and Colton Pell, and to me, they're just the epitome of what a team player is. Those guys, they don't ever complain. They don't let the circumstances dictate their energy, their effort. They're all in for their teammates and coaches and for us. You know, so we're very, very, very grateful for the senior class that we had. You know, they set a benchmark pretty high, the standard's pretty high for the next group and for future Tigers coming up.
We're talking with John Scouten, head boys basketball coach, recapping the season past here. And, Coach, let's talk about a few of the things on the bench. First off, everybody knows your first year as a head coach. You were on the bench under Coach Budenig, and also 1 year on the girls program under Al Stephan, I believe. So you learned under those guys, but still there's a big difference when you move from that JV chair to the head chair.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that was one of the biggest things that I reflected on Saturday night at the state tournament. We're sitting there watching that title game, and things are going on, and rooting for, you know, colleagues now and guys that you just build relationships with throughout the season. You know, and I just, like a wave of exhaustion just kind of swept over me in terms of, yeah, you're the one making all the decisions. Everyone's kind of looking to you. What do you want to do? Which direction should we go? I'm very fortunate to have the assistant coaches I have, the parental input that I have. You know, there's a lot of parents and coaches that I can text late at night and say, you know what, this is the situation, this is what I need to do, or, you know, which direction do we want to go? And so I'm very fortunate that way. But you're right. I mean, the you know, Coach Budenig graciously gave me a lot of responsibility over the years in terms of the scouting and the X's and O's and that kind of stuff. So that wasn't necessarily brand new to me, but it was the day-to-day, the mundane, the things that you don't really think about that you're shielded from in the JV chair. But now in the head chair, you got to make those choices and those decisions. So I'm very fortunate, again, like I said, to have the people I do, the trust level that I have with them, and hopefully we made the right decision in most cases this year.
And you mentioned your coaches. I know you said, and I never thought of this till you brought it up, at least at the AA level, you probably had the youngest coaching staff with you, four guys. I think the oldest guy, Troy Brock, who was a 03 graduate of Huron High School, but also the new guy on the staff, so to speak. So young staff, and in some ways I'm sure you're kind of learning on the run and together.
Yeah, you know, for us, like you said, you know, Troy, age-wise, is the oldest one, like the 03 grad, but, you know, was new to basketball in terms of coaching experience. He coached football a few years, did a great, great job. I heard a lot of good things about him, and so when we had that position open up, he was one of the first guys that I went and approached and asked. I'm very happy that he accepted and that his family was able to make it work. You know, something that gets lost in the shuffle is the coaches' wives and families, and you know, Coach Brock has a young family and a wife who's, you know, very, really has a great career as a doctor in town, and just very thankful and fortunate that he was able to be a part of it this season. And then, you know, you look at Coach Westby, he's a, I don't know, 2010
would be him.
So, you know, he's been on the staff 3 or 4 years. I think this was his fourth season. You know, great man. You know, he and his wife Stacy, they're having a baby here coming up toward the end of the school year. So he'll get busier that way. But again, you know, coaches multiple sports, gives of his time, doesn't ever complain, is willing to do it. And then Coach Coffin, he's been here 3 or 4 years again as well. Kind of slid up from the freshman chair last year to the JV chair this season, and again, you know, has a young family at home. Has another job, has a wife who's busy, you know, farms on the side. Just these guys are insanely busy. And so for them to give of themselves to this program, the dedication and the sacrifice that they make and their families make, is words can't express how much gratitude I have for those men, their families, and what they mean to Huron Tiger basketball.
Not only that, one of the bonus things out of it, everybody's young enough where I know for sure with Coach Brock and Coach Westby, they weren't afraid to lace up the basketball shoes and go out and practice with the boys when you felt you needed to have a little more, physical practice.
No, you're right, and that is the beauty of it. Those guys came in randomly throughout the year if we needed, or depending on the opponent, they had some extra size inside. Coach Brock, Coach Westby, we're willing to lace it up. You know, Coach Coffin has done that in the past. I've done that in the past. And I think it gives the guys a different kind of focus because now you're going against, you know, coaches who maybe you like to joke around with, but now they're on the floor competing with you, and they'll teach you little nuances and little things they got away with, little tricks of the trade, if you will. And so, yeah, you know, when you put it all together, and we're all 33-ish on down. You average us out, and, yeah, we are probably one of the youngest ones. I know Roosevelt had a pretty young staff, but there aren't many out there that are younger than us. And, again, for all of us, like I mentioned earlier, we all get along well enough to communicate. You know, we all are in the same boat in terms of, I mean, I'm the head guy, but at the same time I need them to give their opinion. Because I don't know, I don't have the experience necessarily that the other guys may have had. So, you know, for all of us, it was a great staff. I had a great year with these men. Looking forward to the future.
And we'll just wrap it up with this, getting back to yourself. As I mentioned at the beginning, your first year as a head coach here for the Huron Tigers, been on the staff for a while. You were focused, I think, from the time pretty much you left James Valley Christian. You wanted to be a head coach somewhere, wound up being here in Huron. But even while that had been your focus for the previous 10 years, there was probably still a lot to learn, and you probably know quite a bit more now than you did, say, back on December 1st.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We, you know, people ask, you know, why do you coach? You know, it's just something that I've always known was going to be in my future. And, I mean, that isn't an arrogance or anything like that. That's just simply I feel called to coach. And the opportunity arose for that to be here in Huron. And I'm very fortunate and grateful to the administration that gave me the opportunity to do so. You know, we have a lot of intelligent men and women leading our school district, and things just, you know, they don't get enough credit for hiring their staff as they should, and so, you know, hopefully for me, you know, my goal in all of this is to make sure that when these young men leave the program, that they're ready to, you know, face the world, and not that they're going to be prepared 100%, because that's never going to be the case. But at the end of the day, you know, athletics teaches you so many important things, so many important lessons. And it's my job to help guide them through those things, the ups, the downs, the twists and turns and all that stuff. So for me, coaching's just always been something that I've enjoyed doing. I've been around because my dad coached for 30-plus years. My uncle's a head coach in Sioux Falls. You know, Coach Budnick and Coach Steffen, the coaches in college that I worked with. Just I've had a lot of good men that I've been able to learn from. And moving forward, hopefully I can continue to learn and grow and pass down what I have to anybody that's maybe naive enough to ask me.
John Scouten, head coach here on Tiger Boys basketball as they close out their season last weekend. State AA tournament, 7th place finish and a 13-11 overall record. One last break here. We'll talk some Twins baseball to wrap up Dakota Sports Saturday. That's next here on KOKK.